John chapter 1. The message today is the fulfilling of all righteousness. I have to read you other passages that go along with the main passage that we'll read from Matthew. But first of all, in John chapter 1, verse 19, and this is the witness of John, that is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, and confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. They said therefore unto him, who are you? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29. On the morrow, he seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is become before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, for this cause came I baptizing in water. And John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now, let's look in Matthew chapter 3. I must read you this brief passage. Listen carefully. When Elizabeth, Zachariah's wife, is with child, and Mary, the mother of our Lord, is with child, they come and they are visiting one another. And when Mary salutes Elizabeth, it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John himself had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his food was locusts, or we would say grasshoppers, and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about the Jordan. And they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. All right, now, look at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But Jesus answering said unto him, Permit it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the things that you tell us about your Son. That is, during past weeks, we've considered him in his youth. And today, in your will, we're to consider him, our Father, in his maturity. We thank you for everything that you tell us about him. Let us know that our souls thrill, and with eagerness, we see the advances that was told us concerning him in his youth, that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And now, Father, we hear your evaluation of him, and also the evaluation of John the Baptist of him, and his understanding of the times and what ought to be done. And that is what we desire to consider today, to understand the Lord Jesus in relation to John the Baptist, as well as the others who came to be baptized in the River Jordan. And so help us as we consider these passages, we pray. We are thankful, our Father, that Raymond and Gigi have successfully had children. Our God, we would pray even now that these little ones, being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, having heard of their Savior, that they shall trust him as their father and mother trusted him. We pray even this early in life for them, our God. Keep them from the evil one. We remember that there were Cain and Abel, and Cain, our God, was of the evil one, and Abel was the righteous one. So may both of these children be righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. So help us today. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Any person with a degree of understanding, when they read about the baptism of Jesus, are perplexed. If this were the only thing that perplexed us, we could dismiss it. But not only this, but throughout his entire life, there are things that are essential to fulfill all righteousness, and the Lord Jesus, being born under the law, born and made of a woman, he fulfilled all righteousness, but it seems so strange for this reason. What is happening in Matthew chapter 3 is in fulfillment of what God had told John the Baptist to do to make ready the way of the Lord. It had been prophesied in Isaiah 40, the voice of one that cries in the wilderness, Make ye ready the way of the Lord. And then every mountain shall be exalted, and every mountain and every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low, the crooked straight, the rough places plain. And all of these things are prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus, and the one whose is the voice crying in the wilderness is the voice of John the Baptist. Now, notice this. I told you the very first message I gave you that the Lord Jesus knew every scripture. And whenever one pertained to him, it would be fulfilled and carried out by him. And he would tell you, as in Isaiah 61 that is fulfilled and Luke chapter 4, he spoke words that are found in Isaiah 61, and then he said this, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, the Savior not only knew the prophecies that pertained to him, and he saw to it that they were fulfilled, but also John the Baptist knew the prophecies that pertained to him, and he fulfilled them. And the fact that he did know was that he quoted from Isaiah chapter 40. So think of this, that before you ever came into existence, God had made prophetical statements concerning you. And then when you are born and you grow up and you read the Word of God, you say, "Why, here is a prophecy concerning me." As the Lord Jesus had done that, so John the Baptist had done it. They knew the scriptures and the prophecies and all that were to be fulfilled, and they were fulfilled. What is of most importance concerning John the Baptist is that if someone were going to be the man who introduced God's Son, what would be the stature of that man? It would be the greatest prophet that had ever lived. If the Son of God is going to be born into the world, from whose womb would he be born? The finest virgin that God could find. And so, for his birth, Mary was chosen to be his mother, and the Spirit of God overshadowed her. The power of the Most High came upon her. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, the Lord Jesus is 30 years of age, and he is to be announced. And who is the one that is to announce him? The Lord Jesus tells us, he gives us the evaluation of John the Baptist. He says, "Of them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." So you have here, for the first time, brought together, except momentarily, you have the two greatest persons that ever lived. The one that is without superior, John the Baptist. Of those born of women, there is not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And so God chooses out the greatest prophet to announce the coming of his Son. This is a remarkable thing. And yet, this one in all his greatness is so strange, so peculiar, and the ways of God in his life are so inscrutable that people could not understand him. Why, when one has been miraculously brought forth of Zacharias, an old man, and Elizabeth, whose time of having children was gone, why would this child live in such a peculiar way? But it was the way that God evidently chose for him to live. He lived in the wilderness. He wore strange clothing, and his diet was one that even the fattest today would think strange. His clothing was camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his loins. Now, most people, and I would think of this, that if he wore camel's hair, a camel would be skinned, and then it would be put around him. But those say camel's hair, just like you have sheep's wool, it is material that is made of camel's hair. But I know this, if you have ever tried to wear against your skin anything like wool or camel's hair, anything of that nature, how uncomfortable it is. We like to have cotton against us. But John the Baptist had this camel's hair. That was his material that he wore. And as for being fashionable, he just got a leather belt and put it around his loins. And here is the greatest man that ever lived, apart from our Savior, and he lives in the wilderness. He doesn't associate with most people. And his disposition is not one that is ingratiating. He isn't kind. He isn't loving. He is